Brian, let's shift now to what happened in terms of the explanation that you got from your doctor. So we're going to start talking about some of the medical aspects now.
Sure.
What did the doctor tell you happened?
Well, when they looked at my MRI, they found a small brain hemorrhage in the left frontal lobe of my brain, which, from what I understand, is where your speech comes from. Is that correct, Rodney?
That's right. So it's you had an aphasia, so it's Broca's area as part of language.
Right. Okay. And they said, but, you know, we haven't seen anything like this. And, of course, you know, it wouldn't happen to me that nobody's ever seen this happen.
You're unique. You're unique.
Yeah. Yeah, not unique in a great way, though. but they said that, you know, as my progression goes along, the amyloid plaques and tangles and so forth are building up. And the first thing that it does affect is the hippocampus, which is the short-term memories and so forth. But they said, but we've never seen this before. That's what they kept on saying. And I saw three different doctors, and all three of them echoed that said, we've never seen anything like this before.
So it's on the left side, and that's where a lot of Alzheimer's pathology is on the left, in the left hemisphere. And so that area of the brain, Broca's area, is important for language. So there are, of course, science moves in one direction. So as scientists learn more, then you're able to understand more about the processes taking place. And so there's something called primary progressive aphasia. And in the last 5 or 6 years, there's been a lot of effort to try to understand that better. And interestingly, about people who have primary progressive aphasia, about 40% had underlying Alzheimer's disease. Mm. And in certain cases like yours, you know, there are these atypical Alzheimer's disease. So we think about Alzheimer's classically is a memory deficit. But there are these other atypical forms of Alzheimer's disease that are starting to be classified with a little bit more frequency now that there's been a lot more investigation understanding really all the cognitive domains that Alzheimer's can affect. And so you can get these kinds of language things happening in these atypical cases. And it's because, as you pointed out, the plaques and tangles are beginning to affect these areas of the brain. So you think about the brain as a unit. There are these concentrated areas where certain aspects are taking place. So vision is in the back of your brain, and areas of hearing and speech and executive function are all happening in these sort of concentrated areas. It's you know, if you lose one area, you can compensate in some cases, but there are these sorts of areas of concentration. And so that's clearly with the hemorrhage that you spoke about and the advancing as Alzheimer's advances and these plaques and tangles begin to permeate more, then you can get these types of effects. Of course, this is somewhat atypical, but that is a possibility.
Let me ask you this question, though. Isn't the aphasia more predominant in someone with maybe Lewy body or with Parkinson's?
Well, you know, we say, you know, when you've seen one case of Alzheimer's disease,
well,
you've seen exactly one case of Alzheimer's disease.
The snowflake theory.
Yes, the snowflake theory. And so you do see other forms of, we won't get into these, but there's speech and language. And so you have, you know, speech is the vocalization. So some people might have, you know, kids with autism might have a speech problem. You know, their muscles can't move. So you imagine if you had paralysis in the muscles to move your mouth, you didn't have a language problem. You have a speech problem. You can't make the words form.
Right.
What you're talking about is a language problem where you could comprehend. I mean, you understood what people were saying to you, and you were typing me emails. So
That's
the language deficit. But you do see it in other forms of neurodegeneration. You know, typically we think of these as like a stroke or a traumatic brain injury. You have these types of aphasia, but it can happen in cases like this. It is atypical.
Well, I wanted to get into a little bit of a conversation about the stages of Alzheimer's and where Brian is at this point. And if given where he is, although it's the snowflake theory.
Right.
One case is one case. If this aphasia incident could happen again, and given where he is, and would it be short-term but it's just the question as to whether he could experience another short-term aphasia incident, or could it be permanent at that point? Or give us your take medically.
Right. So he's still probably in what we consider the mild stage, sort of the mild to moderate stage. You know, there are different schemes that we use. So on the biomedical side, we generally view it as mild, moderate, and severe Alzheimer's. And then there are others that break it apart a little bit more. Looking at either one is probably somewhere in the mild stage. Without knowing exactly what happened, and presumably that hemorrhage had something to do with it, you know, sort of a very temporary thing has occurred. You know, I wouldn't anticipate necessarily that this is a – obviously it's not permanent. Wouldn't necessarily anticipate that it would be something to look forward to again. But again, you know, anything is possible. But at this stage, given that it was temporary and recovered and everything seems to be going smoothly – when you put sort of look at the staging of things, sort of, you know, on the averages, you know, you're there could be many more years before you would move into something where language is a little bit more affected by Alzheimer's disease itself. So at this point, doesn't necessarily say this is an Alzheimer's disease issue. This was something else happening. And we know, Brian, you have some other conditions associated with this. You know, you have the genetic predisposition and diabetes and some other issues going on. So, you know, it's hard to really pinpoint this and say this was Alzheimer's disease. But, you know, my take on it is very overjoyed to know that your speech came back so that I can hear you again.
But, you know, you brought up the fact that, you know, it can happen again. I wake up every morning, I open my eyes, and I just lay there, and then I say something. Just to make sure I can talk that day. And it's kind of a strange thing now, because I wake up and I don't know if I'm able to talk or if I'm not. Did it come back or did it remain the same? And I'm trying not to stress too much about that. But it's, I guess it's kind of a normal thing to do right now. But it's one of those things.
Well, Brian, we are certainly ecstatic that you have the ability to continue to share your own story in your own voice. And I wanted to ask Rodney how valuable having this discussion here amongst us is in terms of you sharing your story for others who may be on this journey with you.
Yeah, so, you know, I know Brian, you know, this talks about how so partially for selfish reasons, but it's also for unselfish reasons. And the data over the last few years has suggested that the rates of dementia are declining in people over the age of 65. So somewhere around 12% over 65 down to around 9% is the most recent data that I've seen. And, you know, you think about that, that's shockingly great news when we thought for years that might not ever happen. And part of it is believed to be the hypothesis that, you know, people are becoming more educated about Alzheimer's disease thanks to work that people like you do and others, that by raising awareness, people are taking better care of themselves. They're eating right and exercising and staying socially engaged and doing those psychosocial things that we've been talking about for years that statistically suggest they decrease your likelihood of having Alzheimer's disease. And, you know, the data on that are, you know, if you can prevent someone, I don't have the numbers precisely right, but just delaying the conversion of someone from going into a nursing home because of Alzheimer's disease saves $1 billion when you spread that across all the people who have it. So you think about work that Brian is doing and others in this community are doing to raise awareness about it. I mean, there's actual cost benefit to our society by doing that, by getting people to do those things that we know right now, or certainly the data suggest, are important to do, which, you know, eat right, exercise, and those sorts of things. And just in Escambia County, so we have you can do the math on – just take your population, do these percentages. So just in Escambia County alone, which has about 300,000 people in it, we're about 16% over the age of 65. And of those, some 9 to 10% have Alzheimer's disease. So we're expecting there to be 4,000 people just in Escambia County with Alzheimer's disease. Add on another 1,500 or so with other forms of dementia. So you're looking at 5 or 6,000 people. Within that, we have probably around 100 people with early onset. So, Brian, I commend you for doing this because it is absolutely having we believe, having an impact on these rates of conversion for people over 65. So you're to be applauded for it.
Well, I appreciate that, Rod, and coming from you, that does mean a lot. I do want to clarify one of the things you said. I mean, being that you've heard me speak, you heard me use the term, I do it for selfish reasons. And that means that the more and more I have an opportunity to stay engaged with society, with people, whether it's, talking to two people or 2,000 people, that gives me a reason to get motivated. That gives me something to look forward to. So that helps me on a personal basis. But then the opposite effect is that when I'm talking to 2,000, if I'm helping at least one person in that crowd, then I've done my job. And so it's a two-way street there.
Well, Brian, we certainly do appreciate hearing your story, and I have a great pleasure in being able to help you share it with our WUWF listeners. I wanted to close on a note that, given your ability to share in your own voice again, you're out there advocating again. You just recently spoke to a group at Covenant.
Yes,
Covenant Care. And tell us a little bit about what's coming up for you in terms of your speaking to various groups.
Later on in the month, I will be speaking to law enforcement officers. This month and next month, it'll be over in Walton County. But this month, it'll be in Escambia. And we do what's called crisis intervention team training. And we go out and talk to the officers. And we explain to them the interaction they could have with someone that has a dementia-related illness who may not be able to detect that. And I show them, I give them examples, and I talk about personal experiences and so forth about what they may see. And they come away from that with such a I can't put it into words what it is, but they're so thankful, because I'm sure they've talked about it, I'm sure they've maybe read something about it, but they've never seen someone that has the disease telling them what happens to themselves on a daily basis. And it's incredible. And it's so heartwarming to see these officers sitting there who, lately law enforcement officers have not been treated kindly by a lot of people. And to be able to talk to them and see the positiveness coming from them, to hear their stories. I just posted something on Facebook about an officer in Fort Worth, Texas, who spent a couple of hours on the lookout for a woman who wandered away and because of her dementia. And he finally found her and brought her back safely. But, you don't hear about that stuff. You hear about a lot of the bad. So that's why I'm doing what I do with law enforcement. And it's such a fulfilling cause.
Well, we're glad you're able to get back out there and educate the public, our first responders, about Alzheimer's disease and dementia. And we want to close now. Any closing thoughts from you and Rodney? Rodney, you first.
I'm just so thankful for, I think, the advocacy that you do and the education is so important, and I'm so glad that you picked up the torch for that and are carrying it for our community. I know you've got a national reputation now in the work that you're doing, and just thrilled that you've got your voice back so that you can keep doing it. And I'm looking forward to hearing you speak at all the future events you've got planned.
And Brian, you get the last word.
Wow. When I talk to folks, I just tell them that just because a person has a dementia-related illness does not mean that they can no longer understand, that they can no longer hear, that they can no longer feel. They still have those feelings, and as a matter of fact, the hearing is the last thing to go, even if they're just lying there, not able to move or eat or anything. And I proved that to myself with my own mother. So never stop talking to the person. Never stop playing music for that person. Share pictures, share photos, because they still matter and they are still them inside. And then last, I will close with my mantra, is that I do have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me, for I don't let it define who I am.
Well, Brian and Rodney, thank you both very much.
Thank you, Sandra.
Thanks, Sandra, and thank you, Rodney.
You're welcome.
We'll see you soon.
I hope so.